shouldn't be too loud.
Okay, come on. So, in New Zealand Cup jerseys is where I want to start at the very least. So, Canterbury does, let me see if I can get this.
Mm-hmm.
They do Canterbury.
Mm-hmm.
They do Auckland.
Mm-hmm.
They do counties.
Yep.
Wellington.
Yep.
North Harbour.
Yep.
You don't do Manawatu.
No.
And you don't do Waikato.
No.
Don't do Bay of Plenty.
No.
So who am I missing? Tasman?
No.
Is that the lot? Did I name the lot?
No.
No, Otago.
And?
Southland.
And?
Oh, crap.
Northland.
Northland, yes.
So we sponsor 8 teams out of the 14.
Yeah.
So they're, we're effectively the largest kit supplier within the comp. Yeah, and we also pick up, we've also got kit deals with the likes of King Country as well, from a Heartland competition.
And of course you do South Africa and Australia as well.
Yep, with Springboks, current world champions and probably to be Tri-Nations champions as well, I hate to say it.
Don't rub it in yet.
Well, you know, who knows. Wallabies, as you say, Scotland, Ireland, Japan, USA.
Right.
So there's a few national teams, a few lesser knowns, like the likes of kind of Korea and would you believe Kazakhstan?
Is that right?
Yes, the mighty powerhouse of rugby that is Kazakhstan.
They play in blue, is that right?
If you say so.
Yeah, I think I've seen the Kazakh uniform.
To be honest, we haven't had much of an influx or request for the Kazakhstan uniform here in New Zealand. But hey, listen, if people want it, we'll sell it. Thank you.
Yes.
That's great, yep, just the other way around. Sorry. Cool, thank you.
And you also do the Warriors.
Yep, Warriors, which we've picked back up again. Cool. And obviously the Black Caps.
Yep.
And all 6 major associations as well that are associated with that. So Northern District, Central,
Brilliant. So what I've noticed with most of the strips is that they follow the same sort of pattern as the almost the oval shape on the front leading up to the shoulders.
Yep.
That sort of, I don't know what the actual term for it is, but we've been calling it the Wallabra because we first saw it on the Wallabies uniform, the sticky bit across the middle.
Yep, yep.
Is there a correct term for that?
No, Wallabra is good. Let's stick with Wallabra. Okay.
Good.
Well, that's nice.
I tell you what, you put it on your website and you'll have the most Google hits because currently it's only my website. And those sticky bit, I may as well start with that.
Yep.
That. Are they on the in New Zealand Cup uniform?
Just
well?
Otago.
Just Otago.
Yes, I mean it's a grip formation which is used across the chest, obviously predominantly for the backs, but it's just for when you're producing, it's just easy to do it across the entire run.
Yeah.
So it's really for the guys kind of catching the ball, so they've got some grip on the chest, and then it was also in the forearm as well. So again, just when the guys are holding the ball. And then you've got it across the back of the shoulders as well, so for when they're binding.
All right.
So it does actually serve a functional purpose.
Yeah.
It's not always requested, wanted, or needed by all teams. Hence, it's not on all the teams that we sponsor.
So teams do have the option of
if they want it. Yeah, if they want it.
Cool.
Yeah.
In terms of that, what sort of things do teams specify that they want? Can they say, obviously they pick colours.
Yep. Yep.
And they're going to pick where logos and things go. Canterbury will always go in the centre?
No, not always. It's you've kind of got a different a number of different versions. I mean, take what's a good one to take? Otago last year, we would have normally always taken that upper centre position because the Otago O and then the Spates logo.
Yeah.
So you would have had your tri logos across the upper. Now that's changed, and so we've moved over to the chest, and that's predominantly the standard position. I guess a new version of that is the new Springbok jersey.
Yeah.
So you'll see that they've now got obviously the Springbok. The South African logo, and now we've moved to the centre.
Yeah.
We actually have quite a. It's not that we have complete control because it's not anything like that.
Yeah.
And I guess a number of things that need mandatories that must go on all jerseys, obviously, are. So the Air New Zealand Cup is always going to be on the right sleeve of every jersey that we do for Air New Zealand Cup. Our logo will always be there, and as I say, whether or not it happens to be the right hand chest or in the centre. And then, of course, you've got all your commercial partners. So they'll have their front of shirt sponsor, a sleeve sponsor, an upper back sponsor, and also a collar sponsor. So there's an awful lot to consider. I mean, they're positions that are open to the union to use. But you take Counties, for example, for this season, unfortunately, with Tribro not re-signing for them and in tough economic climate and not being able to, you know, re-sign a major sponsor, their front of shirt is completely blank.
Which, from a uniform purist standpoint, is beautiful to see. You know, it's nicer to see the clean uniform.
Yeah.
With those sponsors' logos, is that some, like, do the teams... do you put them on for the teams, or does it go to like equipment managers for the teams and they do it? Or
normally we would do it for them,
right?
But it depends. There's three different versions of fabric that that we currently use in the current Air New Zealand Cup competition this year. Mm. Without boring you, but the first one is is what we call T-Mex, which is our elite fabric, which we use for the Springboks and Wallabies and, and so on and so forth. That can't be the only logos that you can apply to that are either transfers, screen print, or embroidery.
Right.
We also then predominantly use a sublimated fabric as well, which we call Everest, which is effectively it's 30% lighter than standard sublimated garments. It's got more give. It evaporates, sweat quicker. You know, it's all singing, all dancing, and it's much lighter. And that you can actually then sublimate pretty much everything in. So the cost of putting logos on is pretty much wiped out because it's then sublimated and it's dyed into the fabric at the time of production. So you start to minimise the amount of handling you actually have to do with the garment.
Yeah.
But as I say, there's a number of garments. A particular union might want a T-Mex garment, which then means that we've still got to apply, you know, a front of shirt and sleeves and et cetera, et cetera. Whereas, as I say, with, say, Counties, you know, that's the design, everything you can fully sublimate into it.
Right. Mm. Because all the jerseys are sort of the same basic structure, is there a problem sort of with the teams being almost too uniform amongst each other? With, for example, Canterbury and North Harbour last weekend, when they were like side on, the first photo I saw was sort of a side on shot, and I thought they were from the same team, you know, with that same kind of
it's kind of interesting
uniform construction.
Yeah, it's interesting because both teams have got a home and away kit,
right?
So not our call.
Right. Okay. So they do actually have home and away kits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've made for North Harbour. I've actually got one of we've done a retro style jersey for them, which is their training / alternate kit that they can use, which heralds back to the 90s.
Yeah.
Which was a strong design and looks fantastic. So they do have that that option available to them. And Canterbury actually have a white version as well. So it's not our call. I was surprised, as you were and probably the rest of New Zealand, when they were watching that game.
Yeah.
I rocked on up and sat down with my boy to watch the game and kind of thought, oh, that's odd that they've not chosen to, you know, to play in their away strip. So I don't know who makes those calls. It's not us.
Yeah.
We don't have any say in what they play in.
Yeah.
We, at the time... we'll just make the kits that they request of us back in the day.
Hmm.
So, it's kind of an interesting one.
Sticking with that game for the moment, I kind of wanted to, when I first saw the uniforms this season, my initial thought was, where have all the stripes gone? Because, you know, rugby jerseys are, you know, normally bands all the way around. And I noticed Canterbury have got it, but they've only got it in that sort of front panel. And I think...
And that was a request of Canterbury's.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
So, They do actually have the option of having like bands all the way, like Auckland.
Yeah, if they wanted to.
Right.
I mean, if they said, we're particularly headstrong, or we absolutely must have a full continuing hoop from front to back, then that's what we would do for them.
Right.
I mean, we're not so arrogant as to say, well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can only have stripes here and there.
No, not at all. I mean, if anything, we're probably, I wouldn't say we're overly flexible, but I think we are very flexible in trying to give them a jersey that they want, but also is commercially, I think, viable.
Right.
If they turn around and said, oh no, we want to add a bit of pink and we're looking at doing this and that, and we would be fairly upfront and fairly candid with them to say, well, guys, commercially, this is not going to be Flash.
Yeah.
But I mean, ultimately, they would have the say. We would just give them a number of design options as to where we'd be comfortable.
Yeah.
And then it might get whittled down from 5 to 3, and then 3 to a couple, and then they'd choose which one they want to go with, and we might end up having to do a couple of changes to that. But ultimately, that's pretty much the process.
So, what are the chances of Canterbury doing a Stade Francais style tie dye or?
Have you seen their training jersey?
Not their current one.
Go and look at their training jersey.
Oh, what is it?
It's it's what they requested. It's an over exposed version of the Canterbury logo that's blown up.
Yeah.
And it's in different versions all over the jersey. So it has actually it's been out there for New Zealand standards. That's what they wanted. And it was actually LWR. So under the Union brand with their previous kit supplier.
Yeah.
They obviously went into receivership and were left, so effectively left Canterbury Rugby without a kit supplier. We entered into some discussions with them to make sure that, you know, if they wanted to use our services for this year, that they were more than welcome to. They took us up on that offer. They said they'd been working on some designs. You know, we weren't going to be in a situation whereby we could, you know, have the luxury of time to start, you know, kind of starting with a fresh page and come up with brand new designs, even though we would have been happy to if that's what they wanted. But they were, I think they themselves had done a fair bit of, you know, kind of behind the scenes work with their previous kit supplier to come up with designs. They were happy. We thought they looked good as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, we changed it just to have our asymmetrical neck.
Yeah.
You know, which is pretty, I guess it's, you know, our version that we like to add on and give it a bit of a...
I was going to ask about that, because the asymmetrical neck, I've been calling it the Q neck, because, you know, it looks like a capital Q.
Yeah. You can call it an asymmetrical neck.
I'll call more an asymmetrical neck. Well, where did that come from? Because I remember seeing it on, I think it was the South African jersey, I noticed it on at least first.
They were the first to actually roll out with it just prior to the 2007 Rugby World Cup.
Right.
So I think it was actually, if I'm not mistaken, might have been the last two games of the Tri Nations leading into the Rugby World Cup. Effectively the parent company up in the UK at the time did an awful lot of work with those international teams and kind of consulted with the other offices, and we obviously wanted to get to a stage of developing and designing a jersey that was inherently different. When you looked at it, you weren't ever going to be thinking in your mind, well, I wonder who makes that, because I think if you ask someone now and show them that design, a lot of people go, well, isn't that, I think Canterbury do that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what you want to start creating. It's a bit like Adidas doing the Chinese collar for the All Blacks. I mean, back in the day, people said, oh, it's a you know, an absolute ludicrous, you know, kind of idea and notion that you could ever take the white collar off, and that rugby is about polycotton jerseys and it must have a white collar. It's like, it's moved on, guys.
You
know? And your train of thought and thinking has got to do the same, because those guys don't want to play in that top. And if the public actually regard these guys as athletes and trying to be the best in their field, then you kind of want to make sure that the gear that you're supplying them represents the same.
Yeah, you know? It was quite a shock seeing the Barbarians playing recently and seeing them back in the old jerseys with the collar.
Did you see how loose and baggy they were?
Yeah, they were, and the guys looked huge.
which
was quite bizarre. But Canterbury still, you've got the short. I suppose it's a Chinese collar style.
A stub collar.
But it's often a different colour to the rest of the uniform, so it still has a point of difference.
Yeah,
to it.
I mean, that's up to the team. It could all be, it just so happens with the Springbok jersey that one of the iconic items on a Springbok jersey, if you look back from the, you know, the kind of 70s and 80s, was that gold collar on a green jersey.
Yeah.
And that was obviously something they wanted to retain. You know, and I actually think it's great. It does give it a point of difference, and it still looks inherently like a Springbok jersey.
Yeah.
It may not have the traditional wing collar, but it still has a gold collar on a green jersey.
This may have just been something that could have been the pads that they wear now, but the South African jersey from the last game, that awful, awful last game, that it looked quite thick, like quite a thick fabric. Is it a wee bit thicker than usual? Or
the T-Max fabric? It's it's not the thinnest fabric, but it's certainly by no means a chunky, overweighted fabric. It is certainly, it's designed to be lightweight, moisture management, tick all those boxes. But be durable enough that it's not going to kind of open up, you know, at the first sign of a ruck or a scrum. Or
exactly, it's not a new swimsuit.
And it, so it's kind of interesting, those kind of garments, it's interesting if you look at it from a, as you say, I mean, you take someone like Hibana who pads himself up. And I mean, he's, trust me, he's an exceptionally, you know, kind of well-built, solid guy anyway, but he chooses to pad himself up with protective torso armour. It does tend to over, almost overdevelop and kind of bring to the attention of those actually studying the garment that it somehow looks a lot bigger and thicker and maybe a bit more cumbersome. But I think that's actually a bit of a, it's a bit of a throw that probably Body Armor puts on those kind of items.
Do you guys supply the Body Armor as well, though?
Yep.
Is it a separate company, or is it just all still Kingbury?
Yeah, no, we've got a number of licenses that we divvy off around the globe, but there's a company called Body Armor who are a New Zealand company who've got the license to produce all our Body Armor. I mean, Canterbury Body Armor is regarded as many as, by many, sorry, as being, you know, probably the best in the world. Just go and look at the amount of teams that we don't sponsor that wear our Body Armor gear.
The headgear especially, you see.
Yeah, I mean, Peter Cech didn't think it was too bad when we helped him get back onto the paddock, you know, much to the annoyance of Adidas. But, you know, we're, by Adidas' standards, we're a boutique company, you know. So it was, you know, I think the headgear, everything that we do for the game, bar footwear at this stage, is about trying to produce a holistic range of gear, which is a one-stop shop that people are, you know, think they're getting the best gear possible, you know.
Okay, this might be a slightly curly question. What's the font of the numbers that you have on the back?
What's
the font you use for the numbers on the back?
Oh, they vary from team to team.
Oh, do they?
Yeah,
because the, like, I went to the...
Are you referring to Air New Zealand Cup? Or
Air New Zealand Cup, especially, just simply because I've just seen it recently. For the Wellington Otago game, I noticed that the numbers were quite small compared, like, for the whole back, they were quite small. I understand they've got the logo across the sponsor across the back. But I wondered, like, is this a new font? Because it just seemed very difficult to see sort of numbers like 8, 9. I mean, quite clear from the player. Usually. But I was just wondering, because I got a lot of people who like typography and might want to know what the font is. But also, is that a restriction? Like, the teams can pick whichever font they want, or
we tend to do that for them. I mean, they don't tend to. I don't think they tend to get hung up on that kind of detail. I mean, they'll just say to us, we want numbers 1 to 22, and we tend to send them down a batch of numbers. The one thing that, from my point of view, I just want consistency across the teams that I sponsor.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't necessarily want to be in the same competition. So I wouldn't necessarily want to be putting Auckland out in, you know, kind of a aerial bold, and then put, you know, kind of Southland out in Europol. You know, I mean, it's that kind of situation. You know, you want some consistency. As to the font, well, I need to come back to you, but it's just about consistency, and also, I mean, the numbers could possibly be a fraction larger, but you've actually got to make sure that the number that you use has got to work across the smallest guy in the paddock to the largest guy in the paddock.
Absolutely.
And also with some of the designs that we have, and we'll take Wellington, Otago, Southland, Northland, those jerseys have actually got a power stretch lycra panel down the side, which actually brings the back of the jersey in kind of quite narrow.
Yeah.
So you can't actually have a number that's too wide. So whilst it may on some jerseys look that it could be increased, it's actually got to make sure it works across your likes, your Jimmy Cowans, up to your, you know, your John Arfoas and
Nemi equivalent.
Well, Nemi is a whole new ball game.
You could fit 88 across them, or 100 across his back. I did have another question about the numbers, and I can't remember what it was now. No, it's completely gone.
If it comes back to you.
If it comes back to me. travelling down, socks. Socks are something that I think are incredibly important for rugby teams, in that, you know, you go back 100 years, the All Blacks are wearing black socks with white stripes, now they're wearing black socks with white stripes. You know, the socks tend not to change. But often in photos, whenever you see photos of the teams, the socks are almost cut off, you know, it cuts off at the knees. Yep. Were there design things? Because I noticed on, I think it was Wellington, they had sort of an inverted teardrop kind of shape on the back of the thing with Canterbury across it.
A kidney shape?
Yeah.
Yep.
Are there any new advances in sock technology, or are they just, you know?
Again, licensed off to Pacific Brands. Right. So Pacific Brands make all our socks for our New Zealand Cup. I mean, Pacific Brands have been particularly good at, you know, assisting us in kind of servicing and furnishing the seven teams, because obviously we didn't have enough time to do Canterbury at that stage. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I mean, the socks that that they have are still, you know, Cool Max. They're light, they're breathable, they're, you know, kind of, they don't hold, their moisture retention is very minimal. There is a lot of polyester, you know, kind of, that comes into the, you know, effectively from the ankle up. So your footbed itself needs to be the most technical part, because that's the encased you know, kind of part of the foot, and so that needs to be able to breathe predominantly. You still need to have a very good quality sock, and I think that we've got that through the gear that Pac Brands do. In terms of the design, follows back, actually, if you look at the same Springbok jersey that we talked about just leading up to the 2007 Rugby World Cup, they actually had a solid fill. So it's the same design. All we've used there is basically a keyline version of that. So it's just it's a variation thereof.
Oh, cool.
And some of them, you know, some of the teams adopted it and want it, and you know, some don't. We're not going to get hung up on it.
And again, the teams pick. Like if they decide, look, we want to get rid of stripes this year, they'll get rid of stripes.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, I think maybe back in the day, there was maybe a bit more emphasis placed upon the, you know, the importance of the sock. Kind of adding to the overall look of the kit. Is it the same today? I don't know.
It is. I tell you what, it is when you notice fullbacks wearing bright blue boots. When you notice that, and you kind of look and you go, that doesn't go with the socks.
I mean, you see half the boots that these boys are wearing. Like, there'd be probably 90% of the boots that they're wearing wouldn't go. It didn't matter what colour sock you gave them, or what design sock you gave them, it wouldn't go. So that's what I'm saying. I just don't know, and I'm quite happy to, you know, to either be in a minority, but I don't necessarily believe that I am. But I don't know that an awful lot of people put an awful lot of importance in the overall aesthetics of the sock. I'm not saying from our point of view. I'm talking about from, you know, Joe Punter, who's sitting in the stand, and he's got his pie and he's got his pint, and he just wants to go along and see a good game of provincial rugby. I'm not sure he's too worried about whether or not he's got two stripes or a kidney, you know.
That is until you get to the Barbarians, where the way you tell which union they're from
exactly.
is by their socks.
Yeah, but that's a tradition. And I don't think, you know, that's... hey, listen, if that was something that was adopted by, let's say, a particular club, let's say Wellington said that they were going to adopt that, and that they could, you know, any of the players from Petone could wear, you know, their Petone coloured socks. Yep. Hey, great, you know. I'm not against it, as long as it's got a Canterbury logo on it.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Good point. Yeah. Actually, you don't know what... wouldn't happen to know what socks Jerry Collins was wearing in that Barbarians game, would you?
There
was a long discussion on the blog about that.
Oh, no. I wouldn't. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
No.
So you've got the Warriors as well.
Yep.
Warriors jersey looks very, very similar to the...
Yep.
Thing. Is it the exact same manufacturer?
Yeah, yep. In terms of a T-Max jersey?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It is for this year. And listen, we sat down with these guys and had a huge amount of chats. I mean, it's not as though we come in there all brash and, you know, arrogant and say, guys, this is the jersey that you'll be wearing.
Yeah.
Like it or lump it. It never works like that. And I think if anyone thinks that it does, then, you know, they don't have a true understanding of how these things do work. We basically, I presented to Wayne Scarrow and the board and to a number of their key guys and just gave them the merits of a sublimated jersey versus a T-Max jersey, what you can, what you can't do, who's wearing it, who's not.
Yeah.
You know, they make an informed decision based upon the information that I give them.
Yeah.
And they felt that a black and white jersey was the way that they wanted to go. They wanted to move away from the silver component. That was cool with us. We weren't hung up on that. And they wanted to bring about a white alternate strip. That was their call.
Yeah.
Not ours.
Are they doing an alternate throwback jersey this year?
A heritage jersey.
Yeah.
Yep. So for 2009 season.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did it. They used it a number of rounds ago. They've worn it about three or four times, and it actually signifies the 100 years of rugby, Auckland Rugby League.
Oh, right.
So it was the blue. It was a blue jersey. Had the white asymmetrical flash, and it had effectively the V chevron. You know, kind of a modern version thereof. Yeah. Kind of going through with white shorts and, you know, blue socks. So the guys loved it.
Yeah. You know? The V chevron thing is something I miss about league jerseys. That, you know, that, like, back in the day was, you know, V jerseys everywhere. Anyway.
And it's hey, listen, that is, you know, there's you go speak to your league purists and tell them what's the one thing you want to see on a jersey.
And I'll say a V.
I'd like to say that 9 out of 10 would say a V, but I reckon it would be 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
You know, they are so, I wouldn't say they're hung up on it, they're just very passionate about it. And I think that's a great thing. I think, and we want these guys, well, like, I go on to, you know, the kind of Vodafone One Tribe forums and just listen to, you know, what some of the guys have got to say. And, you know, you've got to take the good with the bad, you know? I mean, some people said, they think the stuff that we do is crap, you know? That's fine. Then read the next comment and they think that we've just improved it tenfold. So. Yeah. You know, I'm not saying that we do everything perfectly, but we do it in consultation with the club, and it's what the club wants, you know. So I mean, and also what the players are using for the Warriors, so the Warriors players is the Team X fabric. So it is a very different high-end, top-end technical fabrication, which is the slim cut, and you know, you've got to have the body to pull it off, kind of thing. And then the guys like you and I in the stands are wearing a sublimated version, so it is quite a different version. It's much more relaxed. It doesn't have nearly the amount of technology that's on the, you know, the kit on the field. But that's something that the NRL governs and says that every single team within the NRL, all kit suppliers, must make a sublimated garment. It must be this, it must be that. So we've actually got to adhere to some fairly strict guidelines. So people want to know why the strip that they can't, or that they're wearing, isn't the same as that. It's because we're governed by the NRL as to what we can and can't do.
Yeah. You don't do any other NRL teams, do you?
No.
Are you looking to?
No, not at this stage, no. I mean, the Warriors are a fantastic outfit, regardless of, fortunately, their performance, probably by their own standards, you know, this season. It was just a bit of a shocker. And they, you know, they were destined for, you know, for a big thing. Probably, you know, maybe a bit too prematurely, but we were stoked to be back on board.
Yeah.
You know, here's a team, you know, a team that's effectively, you know, kind of supported by an entire country. There's no team in Australia that has that kind of support. I mean, the Broncos are probably the exception to that, and have always had good, you know, staunch support. And there are a number of clubs out there, but try being a sponsor of, let's say, one of four clubs in Sydney. You know, and you've got your own Sydney-based market share as to what you can sell. So it's always going to be tough. But I think. I think the general thoughts and feedback for us getting back into the Warriors have been very positive, both from our major retail partners and from the club. So, yeah, can we improve on it? Yeah, I think we can. Will we? Yeah. And we'll do what we can to make sure that the guys have got the best kit and that, you know, the supporters effectively are getting kit that they want as well, you know.
Cool.
And that's why we do stuff like the street sportwear stuff. So it's not just about replica.
Yeah.
There is a range of other stuff, so, you know, more stylized hoodies and, you know, kind of tees and polos. But again, you're given by the NRL as to the amount that you can do.
Yeah.
So when people say, well, why is your range only so big?
Yeah.
Go and ask Mr. Gallup.
I just want to finish up with the cricket, Black Caps uniform. I think that if my...
You've got a wry smile on your face.
Well, no, I really want to ask about the W...
Yep.
Shape on the front.
Yeah.
And why?
Just purely a design feature, nothing more.
Right.
no hidden agendas around it, it referring to anything in particular.
Yeah. No grip on it?
No grip required there. Probably it needed it. we produced that kit, and we also at the time were doing a couple of teams up in the UK, county cricket teams. Mm. We developed a fairly similar design up in the UK, and it came off the back, but a slight variation of that design, and we played around with it, and again presented it to New Zealand Cricket, and yada yada yada, and
yeah.
So go through all the same processes that we've talked about. They signed off on it, they liked it, yada yada yada, and that's where it is.
Cool.
I think it was kind of interesting actually, because we came under quite a lot of fire and criticism for it.
Yeah.
And, hey, I mean. I'm quite open to that, you know. When it's constructed in a way that it's quite happy to have a robust debate about it.
Yeah.
I think it's when you get some fairly nonsensical, you know, kind of barrage of effing and blinding, and you know, you kind of go, well, yeah. Listen, if you want to have a chat about it, I'm more than happy to do so.
Yeah.
But.
When people blame the downfall of New Zealand cricket on a uniform thing, it's kind of.
Yeah, I mean, again, same kind of deal. The guys had a sublimated top and a dyed pair of pants, so you're going to get two different blacks.
Mm.
So that's where it came from. People saying, oh, they're wearing blue. Well, no, they weren't. They were wearing black.
Yeah.
And they're wearing white underneath. No, they weren't. They were wearing silver.
Can I borrow this chair?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you very much.
Can we just grab a couple more coffees?
Yeah, sure.
Long black?
Yeah,
long black. Long
black. Trim.
Awesome.
Clearly. we a kind of sellout as well. We were accused of kind of assisting New Zealand Cricket in selling out by putting DC as the sponsor on the front. You know, I mean, it's, again, coming back to the commercial realities, do you think, honestly, as an apparel manufacturer, we have any kind of governance or saying in who they sign up as their major sponsor?
Yeah.
Clearly not. Can we control what their logo looks like? No.
No.
So there's a couple of things that were outside of our remit, and hey, listen, that's cool. I can tell you this, hand on heart, I had a good catch up with New Zealand Cricket and with Dan Vettori, and we did a debrief of the season. Mate, when the Black Caps captain tells you that it's probably the best gear that they've ever had, you kind of got to think, okay, well, year one, we probably haven't done so bad. Yeah, there might be people in Whangarei down to the deep south that think we've done, you know, a balls up of the design.
Mm.
Take that on the chin. You know, we will be amending the look of the shirt, not hugely.
Right.
I can tell you the W is coming off.
Oh, wow!
It's a radical change. What can I tell you?
Well, I suppose when you look back on it, and you look back on some of New Zealand's previous uniforms, the beige, the aqua thing.
Yeah, the teal.
The teal, that's right. It's going to... The W might end up in that sort of canon of shirts.
Yeah,
ends up being a throwback that people will wear in the stands proudly.
This comes back to our point where we discussed it before about the New Zealand public having such a staunch political view on... performance.
Yep.
But then you can see what's happening, it tends to broaden the net, and it then starts to relate to kit, and it's everything that's all encompassing. It's how they're traveling there, what they're wearing, how they're playing, how they're training, what are they eating, who are they rooting, you know, I mean, it becomes all encompassing. And I think now more so than ever before, I think players, teams, and anyone else associated with that, and that includes apparel, kit providers, are scrutinised to the nth degree, you know. It could have been absolutely perfect, but there'll always be something wrong with it.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? You'll never get it right. I mean, because you'll never appease all of the people all of the time.
No, you won't. There'll always be someone who says, well, you know, it's a great strip, but it doesn't go with jeans.
Which is a shame for Dan Vettori, because clearly he always likes to wear his diesels, you know, whilst he's sitting in gully.
But
the kit that we produce for the guys, so what we do for the stands, they are altered quite considerably. I saw that someone referred to the guys as looking obese in the kit, and I could, you know, when we head back to the office, I'll come upstairs and I'll show you some examples of some garments.
Yeah.
And you'll be staggered to see how light they are. I mean, you'd be absolutely blown away.
Yeah.
But by the same token, if you know, we're getting calls from, you know, Otago and ND and CD and everyone else saying, guys, wicked job on the kit, well done.
Yeah.
Then, you know, sorry, I think it's kind of job done.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what it comes down to. Yes, we obviously want to make sure that we're selling the stuff, and that is obviously key.
Mm-hmm.
But it's getting a balancing act, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a tough one. It is a tough one.
Yeah.
So,
cool.
Yeah.
Make sure that I'll
all right.
Yeah, fantastic.
Make sure some of that's recorded for you.
Yeah, that's all sweet.